This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us on Enterprise Biz Bites. It is Thursday, the 14th of October. My name is Audrey Raj, and as usual, with me in the studio is Frida Liu.
Yeah, it's as usual. Most times.
On the show today, we are talking about going back to your desks. Mm.
The question today is, what values are compromised the most by not having all employees work from the office? Poll happening. Instagram, Twitter, at BFM Radio. The options are, is it culture? Is it collaboration? Productivity or others? Your thoughts as well over WhatsApp, 018-789-8899.
Now, we're talking about this because there was this excellent and very long article in Recode talking about how there could be an unexpected fight that could divide your company because of just the question of whether you should be forced to return to the office. Now, for the past several months, a fight has been brewing inside the world's most profitable company. We're talking about Apple, about a fundamental aspect of its business, whether its corporate employees must return to office.
So Apple expects employees to return to their desks at least 3 days a week when its offices reopen. And although the COVID-19 Delta variant has made it unclear exactly when that will be, Apple's normally heads down employees are pushing back in an unprecedented way. They've created two petitions demanding the option to work remotely full-time. They've collected over 1,000 signatures combined, and a handful of people have resigned over the matter, and some employees have begun speaking out publicly to criticize management's stance.
Now, Apple employees who don't want to return to the office are challenging the popular management philosophy at many Silicon Valley companies that serendipitous in-person collaboration is necessary to fuel innovation. Now, here's a quote. There's this idea that people skateboarding around tech campuses are bumping into each other and coming up with great new inventions. This, of course, was said by Cher Scarlett, an engineer at Apple, who joined the company during the pandemic and has become a leader in, among other things, organizing her colleagues on pushing for more remote work. She just says that, you know, all this talk about, you know, bumping into each other at the water cooler and all that to come up with brilliant ideas, she says that's just not true.
Right. So if Apple doesn't budge on its remote work policy and everything it's said so far indicates that it won't, some of its workers will likely jump ship. But Apple can't afford to draw a hard line here because of its enormous power. The company offers workers hard-to-beat pay, benefits and prestige, so it's capable of retaining most of its workforce and continuing to attract top talent regardless of its stance on flexible work. Other companies will either copy Apple's remote work policies and risk losing more workers than Apple would, or they'll try to compete with the tech giant by offering something it won't. Mm. And this, tech recruiters say, is a huge opportunity to essentially poach talent from companies that are just too rigid.
Yeah. And those are just the potential consequences in like the short term, right? You know, this fight will have bigger ramifications later on. This battle is happening at Apple actually signals a major shift for the company. For the most part, it's most of Apple issues have always been, internal. It's never been out in the open, like what's happened with Google, right? Now, Apple will need to reckon with internal employee activists who are learning to pressure their employers about issues, not just about remote work, but like pay parity and gender discrimination. Even when the question of remote work is eventually settled, its employees have now been emboldened and they will begin to push for other demands. So Apple will likely continue to struggle with this challenge.
Okay, so Apple will grapple.
Yes.
Okay. I just want to say that. Now, if you're wondering why we're talking about this internal issue at Apple, that's because while the immediate outcome of this conflict will mainly affect Apple workers, its ripple effects will impact white-collar workers elsewhere, both in and outside the tech world. That's because the fight itself reveals a growing tension in corporate America over what the future work should look like for knowledge workers. So does a successful, innovative company like Apple need its employees to show up in person, or can it adapt to its workers and offer them more flexibility while expecting the same results? What Apple decides will likely influence a host of other companies that will either emulate its choice or react to it.
Now, you know, just listening to both of us talking about this, you may not understand just how big an issue this is at Apple. Now, over 7,000 employees participate regularly, apparently, in an internal corporate Slack group called Remote Work Advocacy, where they discuss their frustrations with management on the issue and also how the other companies are offering different flexible work models. The group's beginnings were actually pretty uncontroversial. It started as a place where Apple employees were to share tips about how to work productively from home, and then it turned into something else.
They work so productively at home. Okay.
So what? And it's just a small subset of, because I said 7,000 employees, right? It's a small subset of their 147,000 employees, but it is now one of the largest channels on the company's Slack system.
But so far, our management has ignored or dismissed employee demands, saying that the company needs its workers to show up. This is Apple senior VP in a video sent to staff in late June. He said that we believe that in-person collaboration is essential to our culture and our future. And a recent All Hands, which Recode obtained a recording of, CEO Tim Cook addressed some of the pushback on his return to office plan. He said, "I realize that there are different opinions on it. Some people would like to come in less or not at all. Some people like to come in more." While Cook didn't concede to any employee demand, he did say the company is committed to learning and tweaking, and we'll see how that goes.
So he said this in a memo. I mean, I think it was a video or something that was leaked, right? So this is supposed to be meant for Apple employees only, but then it was leaked. And when it was leaked, he went out and he said, like, you know, anybody who leaks our internal communication, they deserve to not work here anymore.
Right.
Okay, there's just an update on that. Now, as the debate over remote work drags on, it's added to other longstanding tensions at Apple around the company's like notoriously high pressure culture, which employees are critiquing more candidly now out in the open. Apparently, there's a running joke that there's a crying room at the Apple office. You know, one staff member told Recode that we are as a group happier, healthier, and just doing so much better than we ever were in the office. And that's because we're able to have our own space. We're able to escape a little bit from some of the more toxic elements of work. And discussions about working from home have also been followed by more public discussions about other issues at the company, like we mentioned earlier, like pay disparity. So it's like, this is just like the beginning. It is the tip of the iceberg. It's just the first topic, the first issue that is suddenly out. They're having this fight out in the open, but there are so many other issues that could follow once even this remote work issue is sorted.
And I think it's one of those things, right? Apple is a tech company. You know, you have to understand, okay, so what needs to be in place? Is it a technology? Is it that sort of thing?
Are these priorities?
So these things are in place. Does it allow for remote work, right? When I look at this poll that's happening right now, for me, you know, collaboration and productivity, I feel that you're able to do that you know, online, right? Culturally, it is very, you still kind of face-to-face, right? There are ways around it. I mean, you know, people have learned to try to do this online, but it's still not the same. And I can see hybrid somehow, for me, works better. But, you know, like in terms of the collaboration, productivity happened because there was a culture, right? Yeah. For example, we were just talking about Daniel, our intern, right? How he didn't know what was going on when, you know,
his first week at work, he was struggling. Yeah,
because he was working from home, right? Then we would say, okay, come every alternate week. Then he gets us, you know, that kind of thing. It's just like a question I just wanted to ask, right?
Yeah.
And we're just sitting next to him. So it's... And because of that, then he's able to collaborate because he knows our working style, he knows the culture. So that's one of
It's that foundation that you need to set before you should be allowed to work remotely and independently.
Right.
All right. So we are asking you, what values are compromised the most by not having all employees work from the office, and why? 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp, at BFM Radio on Twitter and on Instagram. When we come back, we talk more about this issue at Apple, and we'll actually have an expert on the line to talk to us about how Malaysian employees feel about going back to their desks. All that and more happening on Enterprise Biz Bytes BFM 89.9.
Benchmark for managers, BFM 89.9.
We're back. You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes with Frida Liu and Audrey Raj. On the show today, we are talking about going back to your desks.
The question we have on Twitter and Instagram, what values are compromised the most by not having all employees work from the office, and why? A poll happening on Twitter, just like what I thought. Culture at 43.8%, right? That's compromised. Collaboration at 39.6%. Productivity at 14.6%, and others at 2.1%.
We don't have a poll on Instagram, just a write-out question and a couple of responses. We have one here that says culture. Steffers says all of the above, of course. And PDX 3156 says the pressure you can only get from those face-to-face interactions with your supervisor, possibly, PDX. So keep your comments coming in, 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp, at BFM Radio on Twitter and on Instagram. Now, we are talking about this because there is a very public fight that's happening over in Silicon Valley. And, you know, one of the major fights that is happening is within Apple. Apple has requested that their workers come back to the office just for 3 days a week, and not even soon, but at a certain time in the near future, maybe the end of the year or early next year. And to that, they are already saying, nope, we want full work from home privileges, you know?
Right.
So, and all this employee backlash at Apple over remote work is, I guess, a testament to how important the issue of is for knowledge workers across industries. You know, for many, remote work during the pandemic made their lives better. You know, skipping a commute or being able to duck out in the middle of the day to run errands or, you know, like go for a school run has given people a better sense of work-life balance. And for those who felt left out from office camaraderie, you know, maybe you're not part of the clique and extracurricular activities that happen with your colleagues, the ability to work from home has been less isolating.
Okay, so these concerns aren't unique to Apple. Workers of all kinds, regardless of whether their job industry is suitable to it, overwhelmingly want the ability to work from home, at least some of the time, according to data from Boston Consulting Group. So for the remote jobs on its platform, LinkedIn says it sees 2.5 times more applications than it does for non-remote jobs.
Yeah, so more than 2 times the amount. Now, US employers are desperately in need of workers of all types to fill millions of jobs. And this is something that is very similar to what we spoke about yesterday, Frida. Both white-collar and blue-collar jobs, mind you. But workers, for a variety of reasons, are not taking those jobs, as many of them hold out for better options, especially ones that offer remote work. So white-collar workers, particularly tech workers, are much more likely to get this kind of work since their jobs are more easily done at home and remotely, and since their skills are considered less replaceable than those of their blue-collar counterparts. Nearly half of the jobs on the tech platform Hired, which is similar to our Hiredly here, now allow full-time remote, while remote job listings on a more general job site like LinkedIn are at 16%.
Wow. Okay, the numbers could rise. Now, why is Apple fighting remote work? One of the most critical reasons Apple is fighting to get people back in the office is that as leaders think being in the office is good for business. Cook told People magazine this week, Tim Cook, he said, innovation isn't always a planned activity. It's bumping into each other over the course of a day and advancing an idea that you just had, and you really need to be together to do that. There isn't hard evidence that spontaneous in-person meetings in the office, like what Cook describes, boost innovation for a company. No spontaneous combustion there. But generally, according to organizational theory experts, having more connections with co-workers outside your team correlates to high performance and creativity, and you're likely to bump into people outside your team if they're physically nearby. So maybe Cook is onto something.
Maybe. I mean, just look at what it's like here at BFM, right? We have our teams, but then again, like sometimes, well, you know, good ideas come when you overhear someone on the other table,
side,
the side talking
the dark
things.
Side. We call them the morning run.
They're the bad cops. We're the good cops. So how do Malaysian employees feel about this? You know, we've spoken so much about, you know, returning to the workplace, and we've done so many polls on this. But recently, Ipsos released a study titled Return to the Workplace, and they have some new data. Number one, Malaysians are split in their opinion about the future workforce. One-third don't want to leave home, but an equal amount can't wait to get out of home.
Right.
Number two, employees want to be connected, productive, and stress-free. They believe flexibility will be the answer to that. And number three, Malaysian employees expect their employers to be more flexible in terms of going to the office. Forcing employees to shift back to full-time work from the office will encourage employees to look for alternatives. Now, we have on the line with us right now Aaron Menon. He is the Managing Director of Ipsos Malaysia, and we're going to talk to him about this piece of research and how Malaysian employees feel about going back to their desks. Aaron, thank you for staying on the line. First up, tell us a bit about this study, and you know, was this a local study alone, or did you have like foreign participants to kind of compare to as well?
Thank you, Audrey and BFM, for having Ipsos on your show. Yes, this is a study that we have conducted across 29 countries. There are around 12,445 employees participated in the survey. And among that, around 345 are Malaysian employees as well. So we have a understanding of how Malaysian employees feels in comparisons with other countries across the world.
Right. And what were the key findings? Do Malaysians want to return to office, and did anything surprise you?
So we always known that, you know, employees have some hesitations to come back to work from office. And but when we looked at the data in Malaysia and globally as well, it's interesting to see like that group, like, you know, people who wants to work from home or, you know, increasingly work more from home kind of profile is only a 1/3, right? There is another 1/3 of employees in Malaysia and globally want to get out of home, right? Because they've been working from home for so much, so they want to, you know, get out of home. But interestingly, so there's another 1/3 who has not decided yet, right? So they haven't chosen whether they want to work from home or work from outside home or office, right? So that's quite interesting for us. So it's not like skewed towards one group. It's kind of polarized between different groups.
Right. And how do Malaysian workers compare to their global counterparts?
Malaysian scores are very much in line with the global country average that we have. But there are differences based on which country the employees are from. We also need to know that the context of when we actually went to the lockdown or pandemic and when we all shifted to work from home,
yeah, right.
Most of the Asian countries before that were mostly working from office. Majority of the employees in the Asian countries were working from office. Then they went to the lockdown, they started working from home. It's quite dissimilar when it comes to Latin America, where most of the employees, even before the pandemics, were actually working outside of the office premises, right? Some were in the middle when it comes to Europe and the US countries in general. So now coming back to the coming out of the pandemic, it's interesting that most of the countries in the Northern Asia, the likes of Korea, Japan and China, they want to actually work from office. Whereas in the, you know, countries like India, Singapore, and like, you know, some of the southern countries, they would prefer to be, you know, continue to work from home. So it's quite depends on which country that you are originating from and what was your office culture before, right?
Yeah. Now, Arun, your data also suggests that employees want to be connected, productive and stress-free, and they believe that flexibility will be the answer to that. What kind of flexibility are we talking about here?
So one of the reasons for flexibility, the requirement of flexibility, is that they would want the best of both worlds. That is, when they are working from office, they do know that they are being connected to their colleagues. They actually miss their co-workers.
Mm.
Some do believe that, you know, it's difficult at time to be productive from working from home. But on the other side, they also see the benefit of, you know, working from home. You don't have to commute. You save a lot of time in terms of commuting as well. And in the sense that it helps the to manage the house better. There are female employees and people who are, you know, higher income or, you know, higher education. And those people who actually have a kid who is from 0 to 17 would prefer to have more flexibility than others, right? And flexibility in terms of the amount of time they want to spend in office is one of the flexibility that they are looking for.
Mm.
And also the flexibility to work around the schedule. It's not just, you know, the where they are working from. It's also in a day, how can they manage their schedule? When you are working
right.
from home, currently they have a more flexibility on that schedule. They would want that as well. So.
All right. And what happens to employees who fail to understand the need for this, you know, flexibility? In some parts of the world, we're seeing employees revolt after being asked to return to office. Will we see a similar action here, or is the Malaysian work culture different in the way we handle conflicts like this?
what we see here is that around 73%, like, you know, I could say almost close to 2/3 of the Malaysian employees who participated in the survey and who is representing the Malaysian workforce is expecting employers to be more flexible, right? Mm-hmm. And around 40% also mentioned that if the employers are forcing them to work from office, then they would have to look for another opportunity which gives them more flexibility, right? So we do not see, you know, the kind of revolt or, you know, aggression from the employees' side. I think Malaysian employees on that front, what they are saying is that if their current employer is not able to understand the requirement, they will start looking for new jobs, right? Mm-hmm. They are not going to, you know, challenge the employer in that sense, but they would say that if there is another opportunity comes in their way, which provide them the flexibility, they will not hesitate to consider that opportunity. And the second part which the employer should be worried about is that if we are not giving that flexibility to our employees, it would be very difficult to attract new employees to the organization,
right,
because this becomes more of a hygiene for employees now going forward, saying that, no, this is, I'm working with an employer who understand my requirement and give me flexibility.
Yeah, interesting you should say hygiene, right? Because hygiene, every sense of the word right now. Okay, Arun, advice for employers moving forward. How do they design work models that work for the employees? And can employees be proactive and productive in requesting for a change in the way they work?
So pandemic has disrupted the routine that we have been following for ages, both for the employees and for the employers as well. The employees find that, you know, working from home or working on flexibility allowed them to have more time for their family and friends and for their kids. But at the same time, they can be more productive by adapting a flexible work schedule. For employers, when they move forward, there is no one size fit all rule for all the employees. There are employees who would want to work from office and continues to work as they used to. And there are employees who would want to have a mixed mode of working arrangement. And there are, you know, other set of employees who would want to spend more of their time at home than actually coming to office, right? So we cannot have, and that's what employers should look into, having like one rule for everyone. We need to have the organization evolve, adapting and more flexible based on the needs of the employees and the need of the business in terms of deciding what should be the best work model for their employees.
Right. Thank you for that, Arun. That was Arun Menon, Managing Director of Ipsos Malaysia, talking about their recent piece of research called Return to the Workplace and what how Malaysian employees feel about, you know, just going back to the office. Mm. Where are you on this, Frida? I mean, you heard that initial part, right? 1/3 want to work from home, 1/3 are undecided, and 1/3, you know, they just can't wait to get out of the house.
I'm from hybrid because I think, like, you know, you meet your colleagues, you know your colleagues, kind of thing.
And for us guests as well.
Yes,
yeah.
Right? So, I mean, it's like, so for that, you know, and then after that, I think with a little bit of hybrid, the collaboration productivity is easier, right, online, once you've had a bit of that, you know, the culture, right? You see a bit of the culture, you know, the style and everything. So I'm for that.
Yeah. We are asking you on the show today, what values are compromised the most by not having all employees work in the office and why? 018-789-8899 is the number to reach us on WhatsApp. You can also reach us on Twitter and on Instagram. At BFM Radio is our handle. When we come back, we talk more about the ripple effects of this fight that's brewing in Apple. And we'll also take a look at the poll numbers. All that and more happening after Joe Cocker with Delta Lady. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Big Front Man, BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes on Thursday, the 14th of October. Frida Liu and Audrey Raj in the house. And today we are talking about going back to the office. And if we don't go back to the office, what's compromised the most?
Right. So we're asking the question, what values are compromised the most by not having all employees work from the office? Is it culture? Is it collaboration? Is it productivity? Is it others? We'll get to the poll results later.
Yeah.
And also other things.
Other
messages.
Things. Yes, messages. Now, so, I mean, despite what's it been, like a year and a half, like almost feels like forever, like 28 years, you know, this forced experiment of working from home, even after all this time, we don't know how remote work will actually affect things like innovation and collaboration in the long term. Mm. You know, companies are still trying to quantify the full impacts of remote work and trying different approaches to make things better. And it's an ongoing challenge. And, you know, like we were talking about how Apple is going to respond to this issue, you know, either by trying to bring its creativity to bear on remote work or by rejecting it outright. This could have lasting influence on what remote work ends up looking like for everyone else.
Right. So even if everyone who signed the petition at Apple were to quit, they would represent less than 1% of its workforce. Mm. In the short term, Apple will continue to be just fine regardless of what it decides about remote work. Mm. Some other companies may choose to react strategically rather than following suit. If Apple continues to reject employees' calls full-time remote work, that will create an opening for them to offer remote work to punch above their weight and attract more applicants. It's notable that even the finance industry, where leaders have been vocal about their opposition to remote work, is becoming more open to it.
Yeah.
Companies like Citibank and Jefferies Group are using this as a way to poach talent from their stricter peers like JP Morgan and Goldman Sachs.
Yeah. And Twitter, you know, they announced last year that its employees could work from anywhere, basically, and for forever, right? And this is they are already using remote work to poach talent from tech companies that are more strict about when and where people can work.
Right, Bali.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, in the near future, most of Apple's employees seem like they're willing to accept being in limbo no matter what Apple decides. It can afford to take a hard line against employees pushing for full-time remote work. But in the long term, this battle over flexible work has created an opening for other issues and tensions to rise to the surface of the company. Its workers are organizing in ways that haven't before, and they're standing up to management in mostly unprecedented ways. That's a challenge that Apple may need to deal with long after the debate over working from home is settled. I'm just surprised that this is coming from Apple. How, you know, how archaic in a way, right?
Exactly, right?
So, I mean, like I used to work for a tech company, even way back when, no issues about working from home. You get the work done and you're measured on deliverables, right? So in between whatever, you get it done, right? So how are you... you know, what is the purpose, right?
This is really, I like what you're saying. This is really revealing so much about these companies that we look up to. You know, they're tech companies. They're the ones that are really just future-proofing all of us, right?
Right.
And, you know, for your Twitters and your Googles and your and for Apple, you know, to be having this kind of internal battles about the way you work.
Right.
You know, where you want people to just be in the office and they should be the ones kind of setting the pace on how we work in the future, right? So it is... It is, yeah, something to think about.
Right. So when you measure undeliverables, and you know, that's one thing, right? So, okay, anyway.
Coming back to our poll, how does everyone feel about this? You want to wrap
up
the poll
first? Okay, so leading, what values are compromised? Culture at 42.9%, collaboration 40%, productivity at 14.3%, and others at 2.9%.
Over on Instagram, it's an open question there, and we just have one long one to read from Aisha Aliyah. She says, honestly, all of these, she's talking about culture, collaboration, and productivity, can be achieved via work from home. Culture is set by your manager treating you well and not by you sitting in the office. Please try and have a more forward-thinking mindset and embrace the change that came from the pandemic and learn from what it has taught us.
Right. A comment here from Maggie Bess. Often wonder how the fresh grads are going to gain job experience if they can't pick on the job skills from the seniors. Are we shortchanging the rest of the team? So, yeah. So we should strike some balance to get optimum results. I also wonder if these workers who want to work from home would still think so if they were the employers and not the employees. That's deep, Maggie, deep.
Nice.
But you're right. You know, like fresh grads and all that, right? Because I'm saying this when I work for the other company was because I've had work experience, right? But if you're new and you're trying to learn the ropes, so you need a little bit of that, obviously.
And you want to understand the vibe and how everyone else
works. I get that. I feel like hybrid is just the right way moving forward.
Yeah.
Couple comments here also on Twitter. This is from I am Chi Chung. He says, I would say culture, but it's not necessarily a bad thing, especially a company has toxic work cultures.
So, then you really don't want to go back to the office, right?
Navin Krish said, all the options listed can be achieved even when working remotely. Companies should encourage more work from home and save on real estate. Share those savings to employees through internet and electricity allowances.
That would be nice. Right. Thank you so much for participating and sending us your comments. Of course, our story today was about that unexpected fight that could divide your company. What's happening at Apple when employees there were told to come back to work and back to their desks? If you missed out on any part of this show, you can go look for the podcast on our website, bfm.my. You can also find us on the BFM app. It's available on the Apple App Store and Google Play. You want to talk about what's happening next, right?
Yes, because Audrey will continue. Audrey will continue talking at 1:30 p.m. Join us on our Futurescapes webinar series today. We're talking about the future of movement.
Yes, we are.
And very interesting. We've got people from Kamarul, obviously from Aradyne. I'm just going to talk with their first name, Peter Charan Wong Sak. I have to say that name from Teleport. And also Ramachandran from
Muyandi from Asia Mobility. So we've got all these experts of mobility joining me for a quick discussion on all things movement.
On Facebook, yeah?
On LinkedIn and on YouTube as well. Whichever platform you want to join us on, but just please be there at 1:30 p.m. And now taking us out of BizBytes, we have a bit of Tina Turner with The Best. Thank you for joining us on Enterprise BizBytes BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.